Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of the Thinking Kingdom podcast, and this is going to be the start of what we hope to be a fairly lengthy series on the book of Ephesians. Nate, we started this a long time ago, a year ago, this study, and we felt like it wasn't a good time to put out some of the stuff that we were.
We felt like the people weren't ready.
And who knows if they are now, but having been exposed to kind of our episode with Ed Gallagher, and if people know me and some of the things that I teach and hold to, what we want to do with the book of Ephesians is we obviously want to go through the book and its content, but maybe I don't want to say emphasize, just bring out some things that people may not be aware of. Something that's just really all over literature and scholarly work and commentaries and beyond that. And it may not trickle down to you in the pew unless you're reading a bunch of commentaries. But it's just what you're exposed to. So we kind of have this framework in the churches of Christ that it kind of relaxes some of the supernatural to a degree, at least the supernatural that Nate, you and I know. Not so much the work of the Holy Spirit or God or miracles and all that, but some of the things that we're going to get into. So we're going to do versal, but other than that, Nate, anything, any updates on your end of ministry and life?
We're so busy. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's it.
Just church work or family stuff or?
Everything.
Yeah.
Friends, just being back in Oklahoma. just crazy busy.
Yeah.
But we're loving it. It's good. It's
this,
good busy.
The schedule is not empty. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. We're busy. We just had baby number three, so yeah. So last night wasn't a bad night. I think we both slept pretty well. So, but it's always touch and go. So at Buffalo, I'm doing a James study, and I'm really pumped about that, especially yesterday. I just sat and I marked up James in my Bible. It was a lot of fun.
Yep.
Huge stuff. Let's do versal, Nate. Let's just do versal, and I'll let you take the reins on this one. Can you see the screen, my screen?
Uh-huh.
Is it all right? Okay. All right. It says, his left arm is under my head, and his right arm embraces me. What are you thinking? Do you at least have a genre?
Yeah, it's Song of Solomon. I have an extremely vivid memory about this exact verse.
Well, let's not get into the detail, but let's bring it out. Song of Solomon.
It has nothing to do with my personal life. It has to do with a story in school.
Yeah, well.
We're going through Song of Solomon.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know what chapter.
Okay, well.
Try four. I don't know much about.
Let's just do 4:12. Okay, so there's a two in it.
Song of Solomon goes 7, 8, 9, 3.
Okay, burning some numbers.
Wow.
So we haven't done a 5 or 6, so you want to do...
Song of Solomon 5.
26.
Yeah.
Whoops. Burning some numbers. Oh, all so right. It's
Song
two...
of Solomon 2, 6.
Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm. There it is. Versal in 4. Woo!
That's so funny.
I don't know. I don't know if I knew where that was specifically. But, I mean, it makes sense now that you've brought out the book. So
it's the love book.
Yep. Yep. Here we are. Not doing that, though. I don't know if we'll ever get around to something like that.
I just feel like I need to explain it a little bit.
Sure, explain away, because everybody's curiosity's peaked, so just go right ahead.
I mean, this is terrible. This isn't even appropriate, but.
Okay, so whenever I had put out this episode, it asks, is this content appropriate for children? I need to mark no.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Song of Solomon is about the sexual, like sexual relationship, like in very explicitly in some places, graphically in some places, which is appropriate in the confines of marriage, obviously. And so our instructors teaching Song of Solomon at Bear Valley in the spirit of painting marriage and the sexual relationship in a positive light, we're not afraid to like get more, I don't know, graphic than like what we sometimes wanted them to.
Well, yeah, and make things really real and applicable.
Yeah, make it real.
Yeah, which make
is
it real.
As long as Solomon is. And so they talked about this verse and like they were like, yeah. Okay, let's talk about Psalm 68.
Oh yes. So yeah, we're doing Ephesians for you all. And we want to talk about Psalm 68 to begin with, because Nate has done a little study in this psalm as it pertains to the book of Ephesians, and at least his studies has led him to conclude that there's a lot of things in Psalm 68 that kind of are applicable to Ephesians, and Ephesians maybe kind of as a whole expositing some of the things mentioned in Psalm 68. But I'll go ahead and bring up that graphic, and Nate, if you want to just go ahead and give us a brief, just a few sentences overview about what Psalm 68 just is.
Okay. So I'll just start with my the journey explaining kind of how we started making these connections. So whenever Austin and I last year or so started studying Ephesians, we were just in conversation, text conversation about different verses, like what do you think about this passage? What do you think about that passage? And we came to Ephesians chapter 4, verse, what is it?
7, I think.
Ephesians 4, verse 7 and 8. And it's a quote of Psalm 68, 18, and it's really weird. It's a weird verse, and it doesn't, some verses, you know, just easy understanding how they fit. And Austin said, what do you think about this? And so we went and studied Psalm 68, and what kind of we discovered is after going to Psalm 68, which is where this quote in Ephesians 4 is, which happens all the time in the New Testament. New Testament writers are constantly quoting verses from the Old Testament. And in order to understand what they're doing, never just look at that verse. You have to look at the whole passage in the Old Testament to see what they're doing. And so I started in verse 1 of Psalm 68, and it was just like, whoa, there are tons and tons of thematic connections to the whole of Ephesians. So it's not just Psalm 68, 18 is quoted in Ephesians 4, 8. Mm-hmm. If you look at both Psalm 68 and the book of Ephesians and look at the themes that run through them, which I think is the best way you can study the Bible, looking at the themes, there are maybe 8 or 10 heavy, theologically rich themes that run through Psalm 68 and run through Ephesians. So my kind of my thesis statement, or my, that's not the right word, my hypothesis is that Paul is taking the all of Psalm 68, this very vivid imagery of Psalm 68 that we're going to unpack a little bit, and that is the theological substructure or backbone or I don't know, flavor he pulls from Psalm 68, and he uses that in his letter to the Ephesians. The same theology comes from Psalm 68 into Ephesians. It's very supernatural, very spiritual warfare, very intriguing. And he quotes Psalm 68, 18, kind of he's encapsulating the whole messaging of the psalm in one verse in Ephesians 4, but really he's quoting the whole messaging of the whole book, or the whole psalm in the messaging of Ephesians. So that's, That sounds weird.
To the average listener, I mean, you're going to think, you know, this is just the book of Ephesians. What do you mean? Paul's writing about, is writing to Christians. How much of the whole entire Psalm 68 is he going to allow himself to be influenced by in writing this letter to somebody hundreds of years later? But maybe as Nate parallels some of these things, it'll come out a little bit. And, you know, I think it's a good study, but also we don't want to get so bogged down in Psalm 68 to the point to where we lose the messaging of, you know, what Paul's trying to get across in Ephesians. But what Paul is getting across in Ephesians is flavored by, Psalm 68. So, I'm gonna pull up a graphic to expand on it, but before we move forward, you know, you touched on this, Nate, which is really important for people to listen to when we think of how to study the Bible, is whenever you come across an Old Testament passage in the New Testament, you have to stop what you're doing, go to that Old Testament passage, and you're going to have to read either the whole chapter that it was in, and if you still can't get a good grasp of what's going on, maybe you read two or three chapters before and afterwards. Maybe if you can't even then, you just sit down and read Exodus, and then it's only in that sense that you can really understand how the New Testament author is using that Old Testament passage. He's trying to communicate something significant, usually. And that's, you know, as we get and approach Ephesians chapter 4, but not only Ephesians chapter 4 that we talked about, but specifically as he's using this verse, whenever it talks about Jesus giving us this grace of these gifts to the church, he says in verse 8, therefore, I'll pull it up real quick, and then I'll pull up that graphic, and I'll have you kind of go back and forth, and then we'll get into Psalm 68. Or maybe we get into Psalm 68 and do the graphic, I don't know. But in verse 8, he says, therefore, it says. So the reason why we have, each of us have these gifts given to us, to sustain the church, to get God's work done through the church, he kind of says that the basis for this gift work that we're doing, this ministry, is Psalm 68, specifically the portion that says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. And so we're thinking, well, there's a lot of things going on. We get the giving gifts to men part. That's the part that we get about this passage, overwhelmingly. We understand because that's the context of Ephesians 4, is he's talking about gifts, and he gave the apostles and prophets and evangelists and teachers, and how these people are to equip the saints for the work of ministry, how they're to use their gift to build up the body of Christ. We get the gift portion of that. But why would he start off this idea with, because he could have just quoted that specific portion, right, Nate? He could have just quoted, he gave gifts to men. But he wants to back up and capture this idea of he ascended on high and he led a host of captives. So we have to ask ourselves, who are these captives that he's leading? And what does the ascension have to do with it? And how does this relate to what's going on in Psalm 68? So that's where it's really beneficial to us, and it's really incumbent on us as teachers and students of God's Word to really grasp what Paul's trying to say, to go back to the Old Testament, read Psalm 68, get its overall messaging, and then plug it into Ephesians. So
here's the thing. Words mean something. And we can't just skip over the text. And we do that all the time, where we say, yeah, I don't really know what this is about. Or we don't say it at all, and we just skip over it. And we've talked about this all the time. So we have people in the pews that know they're not getting everything, and there's stuff they don't know. And if it's in the Bible, Michael Heiser says, if it's weird, it's important. And this is one of these passages where it's like, this is weird. Let's not skip over it. Let's talk about it. In Paul's language, what am I trying to say here? Like, his words have meaning that are filled, and his words are packed with meaning from what he knows and how Jews talked. And I'm not explaining this right, but explain that better.
Well, I don't know if this is any better, but he's relating to a people who understand their Old Testament. They just right. understand the yeah. context. They understand the message of Psalm 68. And you guys are probably screaming at the screen, can you please tell us what Psalm 68 is about? And we're getting there. But they automatically and already know that Psalm 68 is a praise hymn about God conquering, providing for the fatherless and the needy. He is somebody that's by his faithful people. He is the one who conquers nations. He is the one who's going to overcome. He's going to give gifts and benefit his people through this conquering. And he wants to dwell with his people. You know, so they know that. They know that. Paul knows that. So whenever it's applied to Christ giving gifts, people are going to kind of understand in some sense, okay, well, God conquered nations, so he takes the booty, he takes all the spoils of the war to the benefit of the people. I get that in Psalm 68, but how does that apply to Christ? So, and this is Paul's just beautiful theological work in explaining that the same God that conquered the nations and the gods over those nations, Jesus Christ is that same God that did the same thing. So he's connecting God or Jesus with the conquering Yahweh of Psalm 68. So he's talking to a people, and it's hard for us, right, Nate? It's hard for us in this side of the cross, and you know, so much after we already talk about many times, church tradition, the Enlightenment. It's hard for us to put ourselves in the Jews' shoes to understand how Paul is using Psalm 68 to the benefit of the message of Christ. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. That's a long-winded way to try to make that better, but I don't know if that
did. No, yeah, I know. Yeah. Paul's words are packed with a depth of meaning that we cannot grasp if we don't know the Old Testament messaging.
Yeah.
And so, what we're going to do is, again, the claim is, Psalm 68 is, it absolutely fills up like a balloon is filled with air. Ephesians is the balloon. The air inside the balloon of Ephesians is Psalm 68. That was a stupid illustration. But Psalm 68 fills up the meaning of Ephesians in a way that we'll appreciate and understand Ephesians better if we see the Paul is taking the messaging of Psalm 68 in that's what Ephesians is. It's the New Testament Psalm 68. So let's go to Psalm 68.
Yeah, let's go there. I'm trying to figure out how to pull up this graphic, and it's not letting me. So y'all had to bear with me here. There it is. I'm pulling up the graphic, but you can go over to Psalm 68, and I'll get that pulled up on the screen for everybody.
So let me explain Psalm 68 first, just like the overall message of it. Before we go in depth in that graphic,
that's fine. Yeah,
Psalm 68. Imagine if you've seen the movie Aladdin or other movies like it, where you have a scene where like the make way for Prince Ali thing, wherever he turns into the king and he's triumphing into the city and he's riding on the back of the elephant and there's the colors and the shouts and like it's a triumphal
procession.
Yeah. That's Psalm 68, and it's God. It's God as king. He's a warrior king. You know how David, we see it in First and Second Samuel. David would go into the cities, and the people are surrounding him, singing to him and praising him. And look at what, look at the enemies that I went off and defeated. Psalm 68 pictures God as a warrior king. And the people are praising him and saying, look at what you've done for us. Look who you've defeated. Look at the treasures that you're bringing back to us, the captives that you're bringing back to us. So God is a warrior king who has just defeated someone, people, and he is coming back and he's being praised for his victory. It's a victory psalm. God is the warrior king. So here's a couple quotes in Psalm 68 to capture this idea. verse 1, God shall arise, his enemies shall be scattered, those who hate him shall flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so you shall drive them away. As wax melts before fire, so the wicked shall perish before God. The righteous shall be glad, they exult before God, they shall be jubilant with joy. Verse 4, sing to God, sing praises to his name, lift up a song to him who rides through the deserts. We'll get back to this language in a minute. Exult before him. It says, verse 7, O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth quaked, the heavens poured down rain. Let's see. Verse 11, the Lord gives the word. The women who announce the news are a great host. And this is the thing that the women are announcing. The kings of the armies, they flee. The women at home, they divide the spoil. Let's see. Where are some other verses that talk about this? Oh, verse 24. Your procession is seen, O God. Oh, hold on, I'm going to back up a little bit. I'm sorry, I'm all over the place.
You're okay.
Verse 21. God will strike the heads of his enemies, the hairy crown of him who walks in his guilty ways. The Lord said, I will bring them back from Bashan. This is talking about this, the captives of war, you know, the prisoners of war that a king, a warrior would bring back. I'll bring them back from Bashan. I will bring them back from the depths of the sea, that you may strike your feet in their blood, that the tongues of your dogs may have their portion over their foe. Very graphic, violent language of defeat. Your dogs are going to lap up the blood of the enemies that we're going to take. Your procession is seen, O God. Prince Ali walking into, you know, that triumphal victory procession into the city. Your procession, God, is seen. The procession of my God, my King, into his sanctuary. So he's coming into his sanctuary. The singers in the front, the musicians last. Between them, the virgins play the tambourines. Bless God in the congregation. So the verse 27, the princes of Judah and their throng, the princes of Zebulun, Naphtali. Look at verse 29, because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings shall bring gifts to you. Verse 31, nobles shall come from Egypt. Cush shall hasten to stretch out their hands to God. O kingdoms of the earth, sing to God. Sing praises to the Lord. So it's God moving in from this battle, this war in the desert. And he's defeated the enemies out in the desert. And he comes back into the city. And people are singing to him. People are bringing gifts to him. They're dividing up all the gold and they're distributing it to the people. That's what's going on in Psalm 68. That's the image of Psalm 68. And what's especially interesting that we're going to get into, what's of interest in Psalm 68 is who he's defeating. It's all about spiritual warfare. We mentioned Bashan, and we'll get into this in a second. But who he's defeating is of great interest. When we go to Ephesians, it's also a victory book about defeating the spiritual, you know, Jesus defeated the spiritual beings. And there's what we noticed in studying this triumphal song of Psalm 68, and then studying the epistle to the Ephesians, is it's the same thing. It keeps saying the same thing. And there's all these themes that connect. Okay, now might be the right time to pull up the thing.
Can you see that?
Yeah. Okay. So in one column, this would be a really good time if you're listening on audio this would be the time to have the video. On the left column, there's all these different colored boxes of these themes in Ephesians and the verses that correspond. So the theme of ascending on high and being seated in the heavenly places in Ephesians, you see it all the way through the book, starting in chapter 1, verse 3, and there's probably 8 or 9 occurrences there. Victory over the demonic powers of darkness, that's all over Ephesians. Being included in the family of God, that's all over Ephesians. Distributing gifts and strength and power, that's all over Ephesians. The dwelling place of God, the church, the temple, think Ephesians 2:22, where built into a dwelling place for God as the church. Singing, thanksgiving, praise of God is all over Ephesians. Okay, in the right column, all of those same themes are mirrored like one for one, all the way through Psalm 68. And so in seeing this, if you don't study your Bible by tracing themes, you need to start doing that and practice doing that. and we see these hyperlinks everywhere. It sounded like Tim Mackey saying the word hyperlink. There's these hyperlinks throughout the Bible, and Psalm 68 and Ephesians are, I'm almost convinced, 100%, that they're connected, and that Paul has Psalm 68 in mind when he is looking at Ephesians. He only quotes one verse of it, but it's he quotes it in a way that he is pulling the messaging of the whole psalm into Ephesians. So that's, I don't know where we want to go from here. I mean, there's still obviously way more to unpack, Austin. So I don't, how do you want to organize the rest of this, unpacking this?
Well, no, I think this is good enough for now. I mean, they have, you all have, you know, the exposure to what's on the screen. You know, maybe as we go through the book of Ephesians, we'll draw some of these themes out as it relates to primarily to the book of Ephesians, but also to Psalm 68. But, you know, just snap a pic of this graphic, do your own study, connect some of these themes. It'll help solidify the message of Psalm 68, and it'll help you with the book of Ephesians as well. My question, in the distribution of gifts and strength and power, I don't see chapter 4 where it's talked about the gifts, so I assume you would want to add that to the discussion.
I guess I missed that, which it's okay. Obviously the important one.
yeah, it's okay. So if you're looking on the graphic, I would add in the distribution of gifts and strength and power, I would add, you know, chapter 4, 7, and following. Really, it goes through verse 16, but so chapter 4, 7 through 16 is what I would put. But yeah, and that's just one more thing to add to this, so which is good. So I would probably, what I'm probably going to do, Nate, is I'm probably going to cut this episode right here for the 30-minute session. And then you and I, we'll kind of continue into the book of Ephesians. And so we'll pick up there.